Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right. Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up here on VBS Radio. We've got a great show today. We're going to talk about an article that started us from the Colorado Citizen Press, which is just a great blog site. Gotta check it every day. I certainly do.
One of our sponsors. Yep, we love them.
One of our sponsors is just wonderful. And we'll have a report at 3:30 on the rally in Tulsa that got great ratings. 11 million people saw it. I guess there's some question. There were 6,000, or maybe there's 12,000, but there's certainly less than a full arena.
One of the persons who was there was Casper Stocker.
That's right.
GOP candidate for the 7th Congressional District. We will be voting for him, and he'll be coming on.
And we also have Synergetics. We'll talk about a little later in the show. Right now, I want to bring on Ben Nicholas, Fighting Ben Nicholas. He's a great Adams County Republican and stays attuned about the issues. Ben, good to see you.
Nice seeing you guys. Thanks for inviting me.
Sure.
So there's a little bit underneath the radar. There's this huge battle going on in Weld County and kind of flowing over to Jefferson County, where grassroots Republicans, real conservatives, are facing an onslaught of money from Hillary Clinton supporters and others pretending they're conservatives. Can you tell us about it?
Well, this really is about a false flag or running a lot of false people that claim to be Republicans, and yet they're being outspent. As you indicated, much of the money is coming in from these super PACs or mega funders or donors that were backing Hillary Clinton. Now are backing four of these candidates that are up in Weld County. And also, just a little bit, there's one that's running over in Justin Everett's race. Right. And that individual I think he received about $110,000 last time that he ran. And now it's even exceeding that. And this is a primary race. I mean, there's about $860,000 that has been spent
today,
raised and earmarked to be spent in these races. And these are primary races. So these things, this money is all going to these false flag people. Even though they claim to be Republicans, they really don't have the grassroots support. And so that is a major problem. The other thing is that this really culminates back to the whole opt-out movement that I and some other people were trying to get the Republican Party to do, is that is opt out of these primaries where we have unaffiliateds who are voting. So there is an article out there that a friend of mine pointed me to. It was under Colorado Sun, and it was discussing this very issue. And so you can see in that there are certain words that are used, such as the pragmatic candidates. Those are the people that are just pragmatic. Yes.
Common sense. Open borders, tax increasing.
That's right. So this thing is really earmarked for the unaffiliated to come into the Republican primaries and then select the most liberal and somewhat false Republicans.
Well, and here's the thing, because that's back everybody up. Because like one of the things we like to do in the show is truth straight up. And here's the thing, the Democrats, people have to understand, play the long game. And the Republicans, Ben, you hinted at this, keep falling for it, right?
Yeah.
Why do we think the Democrats pushed the open primary, right? Well, the reason they did that, and as you said, so that we could opt out, the Republicans like you, conservatives, wanted to be able to opt out so we could run our own primaries, right? But they don't. The Democrats wanted the open primary, I suspect, in part, number one, so they could fiddle around in our primary, right? Because you can be unaffiliated now. And also not, and they're throwing money, like you said. I mean, we've talked to some Democrat, I guess I would call them bundlers, so openly admit, right, that Republican, that they are meddling, that's the word I would use, they're contributing to these fake Republicans trying to get them elected. They've got people, I have no doubt, because we would have done it if it would have made a difference, right? Who are trying to vote to get these guys to win the primary, all of it designed to undermine and undercut grassroots Republicans. It's no accident. You've got the mail-in ballots, you've got the open primaries, you've got the Dem money coming in. Right. It's a strategy.
And you know, the establishment Republicans often go along with it because they see it as helping them in their effort to, I don't know what their effort is for, but make sure that even if you get Republicans, they're really not.
They're really not Republicans.
They're kind of Kevin Priola type of Republican, right, where it's important, they'll go to the Democratic.
Well, then they won't stay with the caucus. You look at the Democrats, they never, maybe on the death penalty, Rhonda Fields.
One person,
you know, in the Democrat, but that passed anyway, right? But the Democrats never revolt against the caucus. And Republicans, Patrick Neville, I mean, it's like herding cats, and this is part of the reason why.
Well, let's go to the one in Jefferson County. Can you tell us about that one?
Well, that's Justin Everett, and he's up against an incumbent, okay, and that's the incumbent that I was talking about. That is Colin Larson. And Colin has been, I guess you could say he's been identified as one of the 12 most bipartisan Republicans. And so isn't that wonderful? So, you know, right now,
bipartisan Democrats, you ever notice that? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I mean, I'm just kind of looking at some of my notes here. Colin Larson has been really receiving end of about $158,000 of these
primary
PAC money.
In the
PAC money. Now, he's up against Justin Everett. Okay. And Justin Everett has, what I saw in this article was that he's now received a total of $5,000 from the Rocky Mountain Gun Owners Association as a consulting fee. Now, you know as well as I do that when you receive a consulting fee like that, that is part of your income. And so you have to pay taxes on that. So it's not like $5,000 going completely towards his election campaign. So he's really short. I mean, $158,000 versus 3,000.
Right. Well, and he's one of the most conservative. There's other stuff I want to get in on this. Yeah. On Wednesday, we're going to be talking to an Adams County Republican, Jimmy Mack, who did some great investigative work and found out that some of the people, at least one of the persons posting nasty, snarky comments about Justin Everett, it's a whole fake Facebook page, right? And we asked our Democrat friends, did you guys do that? Like, oh no, we would be much sneakier. They're like, we do that, but when we do it, we're way sneakier. And you would never figure it out.
And they had a suggestion about a couple of Republican consultants who spend all their time trying to raise money
from the Democrats. Yeah.
So it was probably that. But
so they're playing dirty as well as being, I guess I would call that dirty, certainly unfair, right? If you want to support somebody, support them. That's great. If you want to make comments in support of somebody else and against somebody else, that's great. But don't set up an entire fake Facebook account to do that.
So, I mean, this is a tactic that that was exposed in the blueprint.
Right.
So that thing's been out for almost 15 years now.
Right.
And so this tactic that they have been using now has been successful for all these years. And
so if you're kind of a conservative in South Jefferson County, House District 22, Justin Everett is your person.
Vote
if you're
Justin
kind of,
Everett.
If you're a rhino sort of and really like like Democrats better than Republicans, then vote for Colin Larson, because that's who he is.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing is that all of these false flag candidates, if you want to see more burning and looting and the stuff that's taking place in Seattle and all these other liberal-ran cities, vote for that guy, because that's just what you're going to get eventually. And if you're sick and tired of that, then you better learn how to read some of these things that are true conservative grassroots people.
Right.
Justin, and that's let me just give you a list of, Pat Miller, Grady Norris. I know Grady.
Grady's
a good guy. He's solid.
Well, that's House District 48, I think.
Grady's 48, Pat Miller 63, Vicky Marble's running in House District 49, and Rupert Parchment. Now, I never met Rupert, but he's in Senate District 23. Okay. And he's up against Barbara Kirkmeier.
Now, unlike some of the other ones who I think are just really, Tonya Van Berber is a CEA, Colorado Education, the unionized teacher.
Right.
Been unaffiliated for lots of years.
Running as a Republican?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah,
She's just a left wing.
Yeah, I mean, top teacher union people are always conservative, particularly when it comes to spending and taxes.
And that's true of some of the other ones. The Senate race that Rupert is in, and Rupert's an incredible candidate. He's a Black American, parents from Jamaica, but runs a great campaign, and he's against Barbara Kirkmeyer, who we've had on this program, and she would qualify. The others are just false flag operations. They're just lefties pretending to be Republicans. Barbara is somebody that is a moderate, business-oriented Republican. She identifies herself, we on the program, not as a Trump Republican, but as a Reagan Republican. And I have to say, when somebody says they're a Reagan Republican, it means that they're certainly not a Trump supporter. But she's a real deal. I mean, if you want a moderate Republican, she's not a false flag operation like some of these other ones, like Colin and Tonya Van Berber.
They're forcing her to the left here, and she's also got a new PAC that was set up by the I believe it was the Montfords, and it's the let me look up my notes here. It's the it's Weld County Strong is that group, and they've got $9,000 that they've donated to her, you know, for her campaign or expenditures.
Well, Rupert's got, and all these ones that I've noticed, it does you no good to look at their issues because they just copy what real conservatives are, and they say they're for it, whether it's Second Amendment, whether it's stopping POLIS. They just adopt it. The two places you go, one, you see who's endorsing the people. And I, you know, unfortunately for, or maybe fortunately, for Barbara Kirkmeyer, her major endorsement, when she gives a whole speech on her website, is Both Ways Bob Beaupre. Now, if you like Both Ways Bob Beaupre, then, you know, Barbara's probably okay. If you think Both Ways Bob is exactly what his name is and has tried to tank by various means real conservatives, it's the worst endorsement you could have. But once again, people get to decide which of the two they like. But you got to look at
it. Here's the problem, is that all of this money is being spent. It's to the independents, these unaffiliated voters. That's who they're targeting, and that's who they're wanting to select, that weaker candidate in our party. This is what I railed against when we went through this process 4 years ago.
You know, and Chuck and I, when we were kind of pushing, I think Karen Cataline here in the Zoom area, and it was a Cataline conspiracy where she said, look, everybody go ahead, and I wish we'd kind of done it because I would have voted for Andrew Romanoff, right? But she said, become unaffiliated, then you can vote in whichever primary you want, and go ahead and vote for the weaker of the, you know, it's like if you were the Broncos, right? You don't want to play the strongest team, you want to play the weakest team. And we were excoriated for that. We're saying, that's terrible. How could you even think of doing that? That's terrible, terrible. And now they're not only just voting in order to make that happen, they're contributing tens of thousands of dollars to essentially.
Well, the whole House committee that Patrick Neville has to work with is about $1 million if he can keep up the good fundraising. They're spending over $1 million on these primaries from the Hillary Clinton supporters. So if you feel a little bit outgunned, if you're a grassroots Republican, you are. But if you have any question on something, just see who the endorsers are. If Both Ways Bob, you know, it's a very rhino-ish Republican.
They have hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I know. Well, that's the other one. You look at endorsements and you look at who's giving them the money. Those two things are tell you, because you can't look at the issues because they'll copy conservative issues and say that's what they're for.
That's exactly what they did. I mean, it's all spelled out in that blueprint book as to what they did. They set up these false IECs and then they give them some sort of a conservative name to them. And then they just hijack the conservative thought process and they send it out there and you're voting for somebody who's really left. And he's not conservative, or she. And so this tactic, talk to your friend Ted Trempa. This is his brainchild.
No, exactly.
And he knew exactly what he was doing there. I got to give the guy credit for that. But they have the donors willing to finance that kind of operation.
Right.
There are four big groups giving money. They're Colorado Constitutional Values, which is really Rupert Murdoch's liberal, very liberal.
Catherine,
yeah. And they're giving out hundreds of thousands of dollars to Dan Wong and to Colin.
That's right.
Harrison and everything.
And they're doing that for one reason, and that is to take over, not only destroy our party, but to take the state over without issue.
One thing, too, that I think our Democrats...
Let me go over the other ones. Better Jobs Coalition.
For immigrants.
Yeah. Which says they're for advocates for job creation and living government. Sure they are.
Yeah.
You bet they are.
Right.
The other one's Ready Colorado Action Fund. It says it's for focus on education. Yeah, right. Uh-huh. And then finally, Assuring Quality Health Care, which is a PAC run by... COPIC, a state medical malpractice insurer. Well, those four groups give hundreds of thousands of dollars to these false flag operations, while true grassroots people have two people who can give to. One is Rocky Mountain Gun Owners, and the other is a new group, Make Liberty Win, which I think is associated with Ron Paul. But anyway, they have given money to Vic Marble and some of the other people in Grady now. So,
but don't forget Coloradans for conservative values, not to be confused with the constitutional values.
Right. That one is the Neville organization, right?
I'm thinking that is correct. I'm not sure about that. I don't think so because they've given $50,000 to Larson's campaign.
As a practical matter, all you can look at who the endorsements are. If the endorsements are people, Tom Tancredo endorses somebody, good. If Patrick Neville endorses somebody, good. If Rocky Mountain Gun Owners endorses somebody, good. If Make Liberty Win endorses somebody, good. Those are the people that or Vicky Marble, she's running, but she also endorses people. If those people endorse them, then you're okay. If you have Both Ways Bob endorsing
Hillary Clinton, that's a sign.
Well, they won't tell you the Hillary Clinton. But Diane Wong, who's a kind of a good-looking guy, early 40s, and he's running against Pat Miller. They're both from Erie. And Dan is obviously a false flag operation. They wouldn't contribute hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars.
In a primary. Can you imagine what – yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, and here's the other thing. Well, yeah, it's not like they're going to help him win necessarily.
No. They're going to abandon, and he's going to just – say, I'll let the Democrat win.
But here's what's going on, though. I think one of the things, too, is when you talk to Democrats, and the ones who are going to be honest with you say, look, they have gerrymandered the system, and the courts have gerrymandered the system so much that to a great extent, you have relatively safe Democrat seats, relatively safe Republican seats, right?
Right.
And then you've got some in the middle. But one of the things they're doing is they are, rather than trying to go to court and fight gerrymandering things, they're doing this. They are undermining the safe Republican seats, right? They
know spending hundreds of thousands
to get a fake Republican in. And again, this is a concerted strategy. It's not like some of these Rhino people said, "Oh, I know, I think I want to run." It's like, no, they're recruited, and it's an entire plan, essentially, as if they don't have enough control over the state legislature to make it completely, really, under Democrat control.
They don't want any chance of this state flipping back to red by taking the House or the Senate to could block the the shenanigans that the Governor Polis does.
Right.
If you want to see a list of the names of the more conservative people, you can go to NOCO Today. It's NOCO Today.
North Colorado. Yeah.
And they have a list of the grassroots people on there. So if you're in one of these districts, I think Lynch is another one.
Michael Lynch.
Michael Lynch is another one supported.
But he's running against Vicky.
Vicky Marble. Hopefully. Yeah. I think everybody knows who Vicky Marble is. If you don't, you should. And she's a great candidate. But you just don't know because they'll send these glossy,
Ben said, they're targeting the independent voters who can now vote in Colorado primaries. I don't know how much ballot harvesting they're doing now.
No, they won't do any for this. But it's a practice, because the election's Tuesday or the final day.
Yeah, Lynch has received, $76,000 in support against Vicky.
Wow. That's incredible.
It's just crazy. I mean, it's diabolical, as Julie once told me, that how they do these things.
Oh, it is. And, but yet, Republicans got to wake up. You know, it drives me crazy. I saw Joe St. George, a former political reporter for Fox 31 News, where I used to work, and now he's in Washington, D.C., I forget who, for a national. So he was tweeting that he was interviewing Trump about, you know, where Trump is complaining about all-mail ballots. And he said, I asked him, I said, well, you know, I was in Colorado where they had it, and Cory Gardner never complained about all-mail ballots. It's like,
probably
of course
didn't.
Not. Because Republicans and Cory Gardner,
stupid.
They don't get what the Democrats
That's
are
dumb.
Doing.
It's just amazing how bad Colorado Republicans. I mean,
that's right. This really comes back to the leadership of the Republican Party in the state and their unwillingness to fight.
Yes. Right.
That's what it really comes to. And then when you go to the county level, it's so important to go and get involved at the county level and start electing true conservatives as your state and county party leaders, because right. you can see in that one article I read, Weld County Treasurer, I couldn't believe with some of the comments that she was making up there. It's like, who is this person who's thinking that you know, if you're a hardliner conservative, that you're just going to die off? Well, she may be talking about me, you know, so.
Well, it's just, well, it's ridiculous.
If you want to see an article, and Ben noted it, and I read that article too, you just go to Colorado Sun and put in Colorado yeah. primaries, or just put those together, Google, so that you get it. And it's every, you know, it's all that subtle kind of like, oh, we're being fair.
We're pragmatic.
Well, they'll just the article just says, you know, if the conservative wins, the Democrats will probably take the seat, so you want to vote for the rhino. Or if this guy wins, anytime they say if this guy wins, the Democrats will win, you know, right. it's the guy you want to vote for, because the right. other is just
well,
a false flag operation.
They're trying to scare us. Because again, and the media, I don't know. Excuse me. In some cases. I just think it's ignorance, right? You've got these reporters who don't right. understand
how
the system works.
The woman who wrote that article fully understood what
she's
doing.
Or, like you said,
they like to use this term also, that the differences between the two Republican candidates, up in Weld County, they're just subtle. It's a difference.
Yes, subtle.
Yeah, like one is actually a Democrat and the other one's a real Republican.
Right.
You know?
Well, they're trying to downplay that. Like I said, that whole thing is targeted towards the unaffiliated voter.
Or fooling regular voters. I mean, you'll get one if you're a regular voter, a regular Republican. You'll go, well, this person's great. Great on the Second Amendment. Great on this. Great on that.
No, I don't think so. I think they're really targeting hard the unaffiliated.
No. Talk to Ted. You wouldn't believe
right?
how they can fool people. They said it
different
to the unaffiliated
well, that's
ones.
That's true. Actually, yeah, that's what we had Democrat friends who told us. They have different mailers for different subgroups of people.
And let me tell you, they've been doing this harvesting of data for 20 years.
Yes.
We've been twiddling our thumbs and we haven't done that. You know, now we've got some things moving in Adams County that we're trying to put together as databases for that. But it's nothing like what they've done. They know exactly who the unaffiliated left-leaning voters are
yes.
and who those are that are right. And they're not going to touch those ones that are right-leaning. They're
right.
going to act.
Oh, they will. They'll touch them for these primaries and fool them, thinking that, oh, this is the most conservative person. So this will be.
You may be right about that.
Oh, I promise you.
But,
that's right.
I want to just emphasize.
And the woman who wrote the article is Sandra Fish, and she knew what she was doing. It's always Rocky Mountain gun owners. They shouldn't
be
dared.
Oh, they're evil, evil, evil.
Evil, evil, evil. They shouldn't be able to do anything.
Right.
And the Republicans, there's almost no difference between these two people. But if you elect one of them, then the Democrat will win. Because like, well, if they're exactly the same, why would
What's the
Democrat
difference?
Always win?
Yeah, right. And one other thing, Ben, too, I want to touch on, because I think you hit it, you know, you're talking about the efforts in Adams County. I think we've seen with this whole lockdown how important local politics is, right?
It is.
Because you have your county commissioners. We saw what happened. I mean, they've been open and doing business and things are fine down there in Douglas County, in Weld County. When you have county commissioners who are willing to push back against that kind of stuff, who are, you know, conservative, that affects your life. You may think, oh, who cares who the county commissioners?
No,
who cares who the health bureaucrat appointed health director is? But I think we've all seen it makes a huge difference.
It takes a lot of effort, you know, and Joanne Winholtz and Kavika, they both have done a great job in Adams County so far.
Yeah.
And, you know, we still have, thank goodness, Anil Mathai out here as well.
Right.
We got to make him run for something. I know he's
Yeah, absolutely. He says he's going to do it if he ever hits the lotto.
All right. Hey, well, listen, Ben, thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate that a lot. Thank you.
All right. Thank you there. Ben Nicholas. Right. I'm calling him a political observer. I'm not sure what he is. Fighting Ben Nicholas. But so I guess the bottom line message you want to get across here is you got to be careful. There are, when the Democrats are contributing to fake Republicans, you can't fall for it. And we got to educate ourselves and we got to fight all
the
way
around. And you can see the names you should vote for. NOCO today. N-O-C-O today.
Or call in our show as we get closer to.
Well, closer to. They're handing their ballots now.
I guess, yeah, it's the 30th is when they're due.
Call in on the 31st.
No, don't call in then.
See how right. we do.
Hey, we're going to do, talking to Casper Stockham. I guess almost he needs no introduction. Casper, if you want to bring yourself up and unmute yourself, running for CD7, we're going to be voting for him. That's a district we're in. Was also at the Trump rally in Tulsa. You know, Casper, go ahead and unmute yourself too, if you can. You know, it's the mainstream media has been kind of a lot of stuff going on there. Like he was fooled by teenagers. The campaign says, no, we weren't. I think when we'll get into this in a second, that maybe there were some things certainly the campaign could have done better, but let me just jump in and ask you, you were there. What was it like?
Yes. You know, it was a typical Trump rally. It was actually pretty good. I could tell as we were going into Tulsa and getting checked into the hotel and stuff like that, that it probably was not going to be a super large event in the way of attendance, because at the hotel, there was no rush on hotels. It was very easy to park in the area. So I could tell that it wasn't going to be as large as I thought it was going to be, but it was pretty well attended. I know some of the images show a half full arena, but it was probably, I would call it 2/3 full, because the people on the floor and people in different parts of the arena, if you would add them all up, it'd be about 2/3 full.
Yeah, that's what we saw from the other ones, saying they had a fire marshal who used it just based on the stamped in ones. And of course, the mainstream media couldn't wait to get the lowest estimate possible. Yeah. But there was about 12,000 people, which is 11,998 more than a Joe Biden rally.
What would you say? Now, we read some things where people were saying they were worried about protesters. It was hard to get in. Did you experience any of that?
We experienced some challenging with the check-in process was very chaotic. Okay. I've been to many Trump rallies, as you know.
Right.
And this one was not managed very well. I don't know who's responsible for that. But the one in Colorado Springs was very well organized, I thought. Mm-hmm. This one was not so well organized. The coming into the arena and the leaving the arena was even more chaotic, which is bizarre. You know, they had us funnel through this one area, and then we poured off into a city street where there were protesters. So I'm not sure who planned all that, but there were plenty of police presence there. There were plenty of National Guard presence there. There were some protesters or what have you. But for the most part, I think it was a pretty well, pretty safe event. Yeah.
All right. What about, let me ask you this, Trump himself. I mean, he seemed to, like any good performer, and maybe he was just happy to be back in the campaign, because I think Trump likes these things. He didn't seem to care that it wasn't, you know, standing room only.
You know, we have to realize the environment that we're starting the first rally in. You know, we're still, you know, they're still trying to hold on to the pandemic or the plandemic or whatever you want to call it. So I think for the first rally out of the gate after all the stuff that has gone on, I thought it was a pretty well attended event. They had temperature checks for everybody. They had hand sanitizers. They had masks for everyone. Of course, nobody was wearing a mask once we get that in. Well, I shouldn't say nobody. There were some people wearing a mask, but most people were not.
Okay.
And this is the first one. I bet you the next one is going to be even more well attended. And I hope they get the sign-up process figured out. Because tickets online.
They're going to have Young People for Trump
Tuesday, I think.
Tuesday, so tomorrow. So we'll see how they do a little better organizing it for that one.
I'll be at that event at the Independence Institute. I'll be there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the watch party. You know, one thing, I guess the Trump campaign people put something out, which I find believable, right? They said, hey, look, you know, we have been targeted ever since we started doing this by people on social media trying to, you know, steal the tickets or make it seem like there are going to be more people there. They said that was not new and we were used to that and we dealt with it. I think maybe you hit on it. Part of the thing was this was the first one out of the gate. They picked it in a relatively small town, so they didn't have, you know, that many people to choose from anyway. I think the mayor there successfully probably scared some people.
He didn't tend to. I mean, he's a Republican. He's not a bad guy. But inadvertently,
right.
And Trump inadvertently, when he said we got a million people, well, he kind of, well,
right,
I don't
know. That was exactly. Yeah.
So I think he has inadvertent choice.
Well, the mayor, we got there Friday night about 7 o'clock, and we went downtown to where the rally was going to be, and we had heard reports that the mayor had literally set up a curfew.
Right.
And moved the people out of the area where
right.
the event was.
Right.
And these people were on the sidewalks, different sidewalks that are leading into the rally area.
Right.
And we went up and down the sidewalks and did interviews with folks. So we got a lot of great video of that time. But that was the mayor doing that. That was Republican mayor that
right.
was shutting that down.
Right. And I think you're right. I think that there were a lot of things. My sense is, though, the Trump people, I hope, by the way, are really smart and that they will kind of figure out some of the things. But I want to talk about this. I think, though, what is interesting is there were 11 million people watched it online. And as somebody
not
who,
online, watching all different
no,
sources.
No. Well, online. And but over 7.7 million watched on Fox alone,
right.
which
yeah,
is more
right,
than
right.
all of their. And as somebody who restreams, so I know how it's like to try to get people to watch, right?
Sure.
I can tell you, 11 million is incredible.
It is, you know, and that's a great number. So even though some folks, I'm confident that a lot of folks were actually scared off from actually coming to the event.
Yes.
Whether they thought there was going to be large numbers or they're still a little bit squeamish sure. about being in large crowds with people, you know, with the virus going on. I think that led to the fact that it was not as well as attended as they wanted. But
right.
he definitely wasn't drawing white circles and having people stand in the white circles.
No.
So I think compared to anybody else other than him, I thought it was a pretty good event.
Yeah.
You know, I want to go to something else. You were attacked in the press
for
the typical minor financial disclosure one. If you don't have an accountant and if you don't have 10,000 people, but it was just so strange. You know, I was at a Tea Party event, Randy's Arapahoe County one, when Gary Kirkland came in. And,
yeah.
and this was back in January.
Yeah. And started spouting off. And he was really booed out of the room. I mean,
mm-hmm.
virtually booed out of the room.
Pretty much,
people didn't want to hear from Gary. So I guess it's assumed that Gary went to the press and his friends in the liberal media and attacked you again. But I think people who know you kind of go, we're so tired of establishment Republicans always running down our own candidates. It's just...
Well, and you don't even
disgusting.
Have a primary opponent. So what do you want to say about that? I mean, why? Why would a Republican... I could see maybe if you were supporting somebody else, but it's like, why would an establishment Republican plant a negative story about you? I mean, because first I want to say, Casper, I'm pretty sure you are not getting rich off of running this. I mean, you don't have a place in the Hamptons, do you? You know, and
I'm losing money running this race because I could be working full time, but I'm trying to campaign and work full time at the same time. So yeah, it's not a money earning situation for me. Even if the campaign was bringing in millions of dollars, I personally cannot make millions of dollars because I am limited on how much I can earn from a salary from running a campaign. And
right.
it's equal to what I would make full time. So, you know, so there's no way for me to become a millionaire from this. But it's strange because...
Yeah, you have
right,
a hundredaire.
Yeah, you know, I chalk it up to the fact that this is why we as Republicans cannot have nice things, because we keep continually attacking each other. I don't even have a primary. I'm the Republican going all the way in the general election to go up against Perlmutter, and I'm being attacked by establishment Republicans for some strange reason. You know,
right.
I don't know why. I don't know if he's a racist or not. I don't know what his reason is. But I know that he still has a bug up his butt, because at that meeting you were talking about, even after he shared all his quote-unquote information he uncovered that was all public. Anybody could have got it. Even after he shared it, I answered the question satisfactory enough to get an 80% straw poll vote in that room. So I don't know if he was still holding on to that or whatever it was.
But well, I have to say I was there. And Gary Kirkland has a very distinct Southern accent. And when he was screaming at him, the big guy screaming at you, boy.
He got really
a lot of people kind of went, this
aggressive
is,
and hostile.
This is not good. Well, this is not what how we want to conduct ourselves in the Republican Party. This is not how we want to try to make everybody feel welcome. And to have a guy with a sick, thick Southern accent screaming and yelling and threatening you physically, or close to physically, was just improper. Now,
After I moved to CD7, you know, I just pretty much put it behind me and I just moved on. I thought it was over. I was told that it was going to be over because had I stayed in the primary running against Steve, I was going to expect even that and even some more attacks.
Right.
But because I moved to 7, I'm thinking that the only person I have to worry about now are Democrats.
Right.
But
let's take a phone call. Let's take a call from Jacob in Denver. Jacob, thanks for joining us.
Hi, good morning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Two questions. First of all, the people that reserved those seats from through TikTok had to sign a waiver saying that they wouldn't be bothered if they got COVID or not. And if they're using other people's names and registrations, because they all had to be verified, aren't they signing waivers for other people too?
Oh, you know, I don't know.
Probably, you're right.
I don't know what the legalities are.
If it's Democrats misbehaving or Democrats looting or Democrats burning places, they don't get arrested, right?
That's not a problem, Jacob.
The second question is we know that the state of Colorado and other states do issue non-resident or non-citizen driver's licenses, and the fear is that they're also issuing voter registration.
Yes.
Well, now, if the clerk and recorder sends out those registrations knowing that they're non-residents and they can't vote, using the U.S. Postal Service, isn't that postal fraud?
Sure, but who's going to enforce it?
Who's going to enforce it? You enforce it on the person who signs the return address. If it's the clerk of so,
they're not going to do it. The Attorney General Phil Weiser will not enforce it.
Yeah.
The Brownstein U.S. Attorney will not enforce it. Janet Griswold, Beth McCann. I mean, they control the state more.
You didn't hear Bill Barr yesterday.
Yeah,
well, there you
yeah.
go. No, and
well,
Jacob,
maybe Bill Barr will
you
do
raised
something.
Some really good points, and you got to hope, right? I mean, at least I'm glad. Okay, thank you, Jacob. But you know, Kazerlane, you to weigh in on this.
When it comes to those numbers, guys, I think all the Trump campaign needs to do is just start charging a minimal amount for the tickets, $5, and then donate that money to charity.
So they won't pay it.
If he starts charging for those tickets, then even if they do flood the system, they're going to flood the system with money.
And
he can take that money and donate it to a worthy cause or to the campaign or whatever.
Something like that. Speaking of campaigns, Casper, before we let you go, let's go ahead and have you tell us about yours. How can people find out about you? How can people help?
Yeah. So my name is Casper Stockham. I'm running for U.S. Congress in Congressional District 7. Just got back from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm excited about what's going on with the Trump campaign, excited to be in this race. We actually have a good chance to take out Ed Perlmutter, even though he's very well established. We are raising money. We've got some meet and greets set up. I'm out and about. I'm not hiding in fear from any virus or anything else. I'm out shaking hands. You know, we're out meeting people. We've got some meet and greets set up. We're fundraising events set up. So we are picking up steam a lot. And I recorded a lot of videos while I was in Tulsa, and we're going to be rolling those out on the campaign trail. We do a live town hall call every Sunday night at 6:00. So folks can come on there, ask questions, you know, I'll give them updates about the campaign. And like I said, I'm excited. I think we got a really good shot to take out Ed Perlmutter.
All right.
Hopefully,
Casper, thank you. Thank you for coming on and talking to us about Tulsa too. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care, guys.
All right.
All right. Hey, and then I want to read a text. We have a text from Mark. Hey, first, couple things. I want to let folks know, you, if you're watching us on Zoom, we appreciate it. We love to see you all. If you want to comment, you can just go ahead and unmute yourself, and you don't have to, if your hair isn't great, you don't have to come on. You can just unmute yourself and talk. Or you can call in at 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. And also, if you want, you can go in on the Zoom. If you don't want it, you can go to the chat area. If you're familiar with it, just at the bottom of the Zoom meeting, there's a whole bunch of little icons, and click on the chat and you can chat with us. So Mark says, hey, great show as always. Thank you, Mark. Thanks for all the information on who to trust. I'm a conservative Republican registered as an independent. I voted for Hick because I think he's the weakest candidate in the primary. Do you think there are more people that might do the same thing?
Hick is not the weaker candidate because he's got all the money.
Yeah, he's a weaker in terms of,
Andrew Romanoff comes to him, the weaker Hickenlooper gets. So you voted and that's great. So good job. But I think in general, if I had an independent ballot, I would have voted for
Romanoff, just because Romanoff, he's not going to have the support. But, you know, on the other hand, you got to wonder, right? I mean, Hickenlooper might be able to beat Romanoff, but sooner or later, he's actually going to have to start talking. And every time Hickenlooper opens his mouth, you know, Mark, you have a really good point. He puts his foot in it, that's putting it mildly. So we'll have to see.
All right, let's take another phone call. Let's take one from Barney this time. Hey, Barney.
Hey, Barney.
Hey, Chuck and Julie. Yeah, act like I'm a first-time caller. Do that.
Okay.
First-time caller, long-time listener.
Yeah. Okay, so let me say this to Casper. Casper, you need a miracle, but we love you and God bless you, but you need a full-fledged, 1,000%, one of them Catholic saint/miracles to win this against Perlmutter. Yeah. But we're pulling for you. Good luck. Yeah, you're a good guy. You just said, I wanted to say something else, but you brought up Romanoff and Hickenlooper. I think Cory Gardner is praying to God that it's Hickenlooper, because I think Hickenlooper is just about dumb enough to lose to Cory Gardner. But going to Cory, because, you know, I hear Karen call in and last week talking about Republicans. The problem, and Ben, and I don't know what the hell Ben is either, but I love him. But the bottom line is, they have done this to us. You tell us we need the most electable person, and that's not how you get leadership. The bottom line is, what's the guy's name that died? He passed away. He was that conservative that said, oh, always go with the most conservative guy. What's his name? He used to be on Buckley. Yeah.
He was wrong.
You know, we've got no leadership here. And fact is, it's like with abortion. I know you're not going to outlaw it, but don't look me in the eye and tell me it's okay and it's right. It's just not a good thing to have in your society. But we constantly put these right. Look, and I'd rather have a rock solid conservative that loses on every issue than a spiny, wishy, you know, that list.
And these ones in Weld County, a lot of these really are. They really are Democrats.
Give me the conservative guy every time. But bottom line is, Andrew Romanoff has got the looks. He's just about funny enough. You can't help but you can't hate the guy. He's a lot of things, but you just can't hate him.
You know, Barney, I agree.
I think he's got a shot.
I've covered Andrew Romanoff on and off forever, right? And you always kind of like the guy. He's a very likable guy. Yeah. And he's very smooth and very polished. And I've long said, I don't understand why he doesn't ever win. I think he just always kind of, his timing is off, right? The one year he should have run for governor.
The wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, he didn't. But he gets kind of pathetic because he's always running for something. After a certain point, it's kind of
losing,
right? He never wins.
He was Speaker of the House, and a very good one. I talked to him when I was a lobbyist down at the Capitol, and he was probably the best Democratic Speaker they've ever had because everybody respected him. He was fair. He was very good.
Right. No, it is. It's kind of. Well, I agree with you, Barney.
Put him up next to, and looks aren't everything, but they do matter. You know, you put him up against a guy that looks like
Hickenlooper is not looking good. Every time you see Hickenlooper, it's kind of like They could have put a little blush on, you know what I mean? It's like cameras are HD these days, right? You gotta, I mean, we spruce up Chuck, right?
Hard to do.
No. So,
well,
yeah.
But hey, I got to go back on Chuck. You've got callers that love Chuck, Julie. Don't get jealous, but you've got some fans of this show, the women that just think Chuck is just the most handsomest guy they've ever seen. Well, I think they're full of crap on that.
Oh, no.
We know Chuck used to be good looking, but they say if you're good looking, you're always good looking.
Yeah.
But honestly, Chuck is a lot of things, but he's not as ugly as Hickenlooper. So
no.
There you go.
Well, that's an
endorsement. Slight praise. There's some slight praise.
I like it. Chuck is a lot of things. He's
but not as ugly as Hickenlooper. I'll take that to the grave.
Exactly.
Maybe I can have that
good,
put on
I
my
have
grave.
My way. But isn't it great the way I tell you I'm going to stick up for Ted Trump and all
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah, you did a great job. Right, right.
Yeah, just a great job of beating the hell out of him. But anyway, love you guys. I hope. And listen, by the way, to all my Republicans, I ain't voting for Cory Gardner. It ain't happening. You guys, you've taken my vote. You've taken it for granted. I don't. Sorry, Chuck. It ain't happening.
I don't care. Don't look at me.
Yeah. I know. But
this,
no,
you know,
no, no,
I'll
you
probably
know,
as much as I hate Cory Gardner, I'll probably, you know, one more awful time hold my nose and probably vote for him. But he is terrible. He is just terrible. Just terrible. All right. Thanks, Barney.
Thank you, Barney.
I love you guys. Love you guys. See you. Bye.
All right, okay. See you, bye. Hey, Karen Cadlin is, this is a shock. Karen says she does have a couple of comments.
All right.
And so.
Well, I will tell you that I learned that if I have a comment, I go on Zoom or I'm thought to have comments, but I've been trying to get on Facebook and YouTube, and guys, they're messing with you. You got
yeah,
a lot of.
We couldn't get on Facebook. Yeah. YouTube, we should have been on.
Well, but it kept stopping and starting and stopping and starting.
You know, maybe that's then, because I know just this is technical stuff, but just so folks understand, what happens is a lot of times the internet in itself is glitchy. And I know the guys at BBS worked hard to try to get us on there. So maybe that's glitchiness. But we always repost it, usually by 6 o'clock at night, if not the first thing in the morning. So you can always catch our podcasts at.
But you can't come on the show.
Live. I mean, live talk radio is what it's about. And now they took away my live PD. So.
They did. That's right.
Oh, yeah. So they taught what?
Oh, I was just going to say, Don just texted us. The restream does seem to be going well. So who knows? Do you know what they did too? Our son plays Fortnite like constantly now since he can't.
Constantly.
So we can't go
18 hours a day.
Right. And they took the police cars off of Fortnite.
Yeah.
Too.
He's safe. He's safe anyway.
Now
there
you can
are no words.
People.
Yeah, blow people up.
They have completely.
Just are no words. And you know.
Sexist characters. Yeah.
Thank God I have a platform where my head would be exploding. I wanted to just make a very quick comment about Andrew Romanoff. I do think he's the better candidate. However, he was my state rep in District 3 when I lived in University Hills many moons ago. And he was never as left as he is now.
No.
Which shows that he's a political hack.
Really?
Who wants to place and position himself where he thinks he'll do the most good.
If you run for office consecutively for 20 years, you really think you care? Tell me what you want me to say. Just tell me.
He has a terrific memory. He is a good campaigner. He's a very good debater. But it's not that he is left. It's that he's masquerading as far left because he just wants to win.
Yes.
And one other thought, you mentioned the Cataline conspiracy, and I'm still very proud of that.
Yes.
With you, both of yours help. Mm-hmm. And I remain independent because every election I make a determination, and now I have people calling me and saying, should I vote Republican or should I vote Democrat? And I said, unless there is a contested race in your county locally, then, you know, I don't think it much matters because, as you both know, with ballot harvesting, they could get Mickey Mouse in, all right? And
well, what house district are you in Weld County?
District 50.
No, it does not.
District 50 doesn't even have a candidate. They were going to have a candidate, and it could be a competitive race. But where it is very important, and we found that out, and Julia said it exactly, Weld County has county commissioner races that are absolutely key. And I thought it was important, if you have any kind of contested race, because look, we're going to be stuck with this polis for at least 2 more years and possibly 4. And where you live and who your local officials are.
I think 2 and 4 is 6.
Well, she said 2 more years and then an additional 4.
Additional 4. That's right. So he could be there for 6 more years.
Well, and then you could declare a disaster and stay in even longer, Karen. Yeah, we're never going to get out of the disaster. You just extended it again.
We're not going to get out of this life alive, Karen.
In 6 years, he'll still be clearing a disaster. He'll be declaring a disaster for COVID-19.
Yeah. Exactly. You're right, thank you for your comments. Appreciate it. Always love it when you chime in. Appreciate that.
I always love it when I get to watch you guys.
All right. Thank you. Reminding other folks on Zoom, you can do the same. Just unmute yourself. If you want to call in, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. You want to tell folks about Synergenix real quick?
I sure will. Synergenix is a process in which you get to control your age. You get to manage your age. Your age is a function of what you eat, what you put in your system, the vitamins, the hormones, diet, everything. And if you want to manage it, if you want to feel young again, Synergenix does that. Men's programs, women's programs, and to find out if it's the kind of program that you might be helped by, well, they'll give you a free consultation. Julie McCallum will sit down, free, no charge, no anything else, and go over the program and see if it's something that you could benefit from. You can go, the number is 720-387-3681, and it's CENEGENICS. You don't have to add the R. and you'll be the greatest day. You'll be thanking me. So just tell them that Chuck and Julie sent you.
Yeah. Hey, one other thing I wanted to touch on too was good news is that the president signed an executive order today, slowing down and limiting the number of the H-1B visas. If you don't know, those are the visas that people can come in and essentially their work visas. And this is why there is a uniparty. In large part, and this is why so many of the corrupt Republicans in Congress don't like Donald Trump, because he does this kind of thing. And the big global corporations, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, they all want to have these H-1B visas because then they can hire cheaper people from out of the country, displacing current American workers. So if you're a kid, tell me, Chuck, if you're a kid graduating from college, why on earth would you vote Democrat or establishment Republican? Donald Trump is your best hope of being able to get a decent job.
So the Republicans found out that he was considering this. And so Lindsey Graham, John Cornyn, who's number 2 in the Senate, Mike Crapo from Idaho, Jim Risch from Idaho, Mike Rounds from South Dakota, Todd Young from Indiana, Lucy Murkowski from Alaska, Dan Sullivan from Alaska, and James Lankford from Oklahoma, all wrote to him saying,
"Oh no,
no, you can't do that.
You can't screw over our multinational, massive donors who pay us to do what they want." You know what
they say? Quote: "Some of these struggling small businesses rely on labor that many Americans may not be qualified or able to perform. Why is that? Are they mentally deficient? They can't learn, unlike foreign workers that can learn. Apparently,
their college degrees. One of the things that was, as I understand it, the people who were helping the president in this were a lot of them the laid off Silicon Valley tech workers, right? We talked about it on the show years ago. Can you imagine? This would be infuriating, where these are some tech workers. So they've been working for a company. They bring in these people on the H-1B visas. The American workers have to train the foreign workers, right?
Before they're fired.
And then they fire the American workers because now the foreign workers are trained in their job.
Unable to perform them because they just fired them after they taught them how to do the job.
Right.
But those are the kind of Republicans, and that's why the Republican Party, generally speaking, is disgusting.
And why they don't like Trump.
And they don't like Trump. And here in Colorado, those type of people are the ones that these staff. Those are the Bob Beaupres and everything else.
And thank goodness it doesn't look like Cory Gardner was in that disgusting.
No, yeah, well, thank you, Cory. Appreciate that. But apparently this affects about 500,000 jobs that will be available for Americans. So that's 500,000 people that can be employed, not in Bangladesh, not coming in from Bangladesh or Wuhan, China, but here. And why the Republicans think that's a winning cause to
Well, because they don't, here's the thing. I think the Republicans, or they have not, they being the people affected and losing their jobs, have not done as good a job, I think, as they could have waking people up, right? They've been busy being woke and they don't want to be for Trump. And now they're realizing Trump is their only salvation. I mean, look at what's happened to the tourism industry. Look what's happened to the hospitality industry. All of it has just been a I was about to go on a rant. It's been a disaster, but thank God this is a bit of good news here. Trump saving American jobs for Americans.
All right. So we want to thank Ben, Nicholas, and Casper Stockholm for coming in, and all the callers. That was great. And we'll be back on Wednesday.
And let me just remind folks, too, go to chuckandjulie.com if you miss any of the podcasts. They're all there. If you would, please like us, subscribe to us on our YouTube channel. And well, I guess we'll see you Wednesday.